Hey y'all, my name is Tiffany. I am starting this podcast and it is pretty much just what I've been reading, what I've been thinking, my experiences. I am a 30-something year old woman, just one woman. And I don't know. Maybe the insights I've gained from my readings, from my life, from my experiences, maybe it could help somebody else. And so today I was reading the Bible because, you know, I've been experiencing some real serious bouts of anger directed at the wrong people. And, you know, sometimes when you read the Bible, it answer questions of your heart that you didn't think about, you didn't connect. And so you read the Bible and it kind of connects things for you. So that is where I am. I am on a 3-day fast just to get my life. Because when I tell you, your girl has been angry, she's been angry, okay? And stuff that shouldn't even make me angry. And so I think, more than likely it's other things that is making me angry. But it's misappropriated and it's directed at some people. Where just minor offenses is just really putting your girl out there. And you know, I'm not a petty person, you know. I can usually curb it. Unless I'm in the heat in a moment, you know, then I may say some stuff, but, I can usually curb it a little bit. Cause you know, it take me a minute to put my stuff in action. And, you know, if I got some time, the Lord can usually pull me back in and say, girl, no, don't do it. Don't respond like that. Try to give myself a minute before I send the emails. You know, sister, hit the send on them text message. Be like, hold up, let me wait a minute. Let me not do it. Because, you know, then you done, you know, I took that red thing off. I don't need you to see if I read the message. You don't need to know if I'm typing. Because I probably, you know, erased this a couple times, you know, so I can respond to your foolishness in an appropriate manner. You know what I'm saying? So, anywho, all that ranting. So, I have been reading 1 Samuel. I'm up to chapter 25. I love, love, love. My favorite person in the Bible is David. David is the realest person in the Bible to me. You see his greatest accomplishments and you see that boy down in the pit, okay? You see him honor God, you see him dishonor God, which I think is a better reflection of how we are as Christians. We don't always hit the mark. You know, we're out here, we living day to day. Sometimes we make bad choices, we make bad decisions, and we gotta live with them. So ain't nobody always high, you know, the people who greatest sin is speeding. I don't believe it. You got something that you struggling with just like the rest of us. Even Paul had a thorn in his flesh and you ain't got one of yours. I don't believe it. I listen to you. I still believe that you're a woman of God. I just think, or a man of God. I just think you're delusional. But that's just me. You know what I'm saying? And I think that those facades are dangerous for you to put on that you are some high and mighty person. You always got it together, that you always reading your Bible, that you always praying, that you ain't never doubting, that you always a woman of faith and you ain't never struggling and you ain't never had, you know, no bad days. It's a lie. And it'll cause other people to fall because they're believing that they haven't ascended to this perfect Christian that you are professing to be when it's not real. And you can, what Kirk Franklin said, he said, I can impress you with my accomplishments. And I don't even remember, but something like, I could change you with my mistakes. Like, I can help you when you see my mistakes, when you see that I'm this great man. And Kirk Franklin is a great man, has great accomplishment. His talents are astronomical. But we see his mistakes, and his mistakes help us. You know what I'm saying? It helps us to see that, you know, how these people saying that they're responding as Christians, that may be true for them, but it ain't my story, okay? You know, and one of the things that I loved about Mary's reality show was when Tina went off, okay, on her husband when she found out he was cheating, because it was so real to me. And it was how I respond sometimes. I mean, I ain't never shot up a car or nothing, but, you know, and it wasn't even about that. It was when she said, I love God. I know that he's real, but right now I'm mad. I don't want to talk to God. I want to be mad. You know what I'm saying? I want to, you know, blow some stuff up. I want to get revenge. Like, that's real. That's how people respond in reality. Sometimes you get in your flesh. Sometimes you get in your feelings. And I know God can heal me. I know that he can calm me. But I don't want to be calm right now. Right now, I want to be mad. And I think that we're missing that. We're missing that realness in Christianity. And I don't know. Maybe it's a price you pay for being that real. I don't know. But, you know, it blessed me. Thank you, Tina. So anyway, back to what I'm supposed to be doing. And if you're just tuning in, this is my first episode. So, anywho. And I'm Tiffany. Okay, so here we go. So 1 Samuel chapter 25. Pretty much David has been running from King Saul for a little bit now. And now Samuel has died. Samuel was the prophet that told David while he was a teenager that he would be the next king. And through a series of events, David has worked in Saul's castle, if you will. I don't know what it's called. I can't think right now. But he's worked in Saul's home. He has led Saul's army. He was Saul's bodyguard. But when the people started praising David more than they praised Saul, he pretty much tried to kill him a bunch of times. And David never turned his back on him. He never spoke ill of him. He always honored Saul, which, it's not my testimony, but you have to honor the character of David. Like, you did nothing wrong to this man. All you did was serve him. You didn't even ask to be king. It was something that God put on your life. And Saul doesn't even know about Samuel anointing him. At least it's not mentioned in the Bible, but he can sense, he has a knowing that David is going to replace him. And Saul's son, Jonathan, is like, yeah, David's going to be king. Like, David's my best friend. I love David. Go David. And Saul like, uh-uh, you are not going to be the next king. And so he's trying to kill him. He's searching for him. David running. David went through all these hoops and did all this stuff for Saul. And he's just running. Okay. So David had the opportunity to kill Saul. Saul was searching for him. He was in a cave. David was in the cave. Saul didn't know he was there. So David's men told him, come on, let's kill him. You could kill him. Now's your time. You know, you're going to be king. Go on, kill him. David like, no. He just cut off a piece of Saul's robe. And when Saul got out of the cave, he was like, look, I'm not trying to kill you. I'm for you. Come on here. Like, I'm not trying to hurt you. Don't believe what they telling you. Like, I'm for you. I've only blessed you. I've only served you. I am not trying to kill you. And, you know, Saul told him, you're more honorable than I am. Now I know that you really are going to be king, and you're going to be a great king because you're a better man than me. And like, isn't it crazy when your enemies have to bless you? And that's why we're praying, Lord, make it so that my enemies have to bless me. And but we ask for that, but we don't want to go through what David did, running and hiding in wildernesses and having to pretend that you're crazy so you can hide in the enemy's camp. It's so much that David went through. And then, you know, David sacrificed his comfort, sacrificed getting the promise of God. He didn't have to wait for God to do it. He had it in his hands to kill Saul right then and get and take his kingdom. But he chose to trust God. And David felt bad for even cutting Saul's robe, because David trusted God. He loved God. He honored God more than anything else. And he know God's word said, touch not my anointed and to do my prophet no harm. And David felt bad because he messed up Saul's robe. He defiled this man's appearance, his kingly garment. So he went out without being excellent. And David is the one that messed up his garment, that he wasn't excellent. And he felt bad for that, which is amazing because Saul has been trying to kill him. He'd been throwing spears at him and everything. And he never felt bad 1 minute. But David just messed up the man's clothes and he felt convicted. And that shows you the character of David. And he didn't spare Saul's life for Saul. He spared Saul's life because he honored God. And that's amazing. I just want to put out there, I ain't no preacher, no teacher. I don't got on, these points. This is not homiletically sound. I didn't take homiletics. But this is just what I've seen from reading the scripture. And honestly, I haven't even got to what that was, just like the backstory. Sorry, y'all. I ain't even get to what I'm supposed to really be reading. So here it is. This is what I actually read today. Because that was just the backstory. I'm sorry. Okay, here we go. So it's 1 Samuel chapter 25. So the chapter starts with Samuel dying. And Samuel's the one that told David God said he would be king. And that's David's first blow, okay? So this man died. I'm in the wilderness. I'm running for years from this man that I am not a threat to him, but he's trying to kill me. And so I'm running from this man. So that's the first blow. So the man that told me I'm going to be king, the one who God told that I'm going to be king, is dead. So now who is there to validate that God said this? Because Samuel was dead. So that's the first blow. So it's like, okay. So then David sent his messengers to Nabal for food. Nabal was this rich man. And, that's the second blow. Because I love God. I'm serving God. I've done nothing but serve God. This man is trying to kill me. And I got all these men with me that I'm leading. And we need food. We need provision. We need essentials. And so that's the second blow. I've done nothing to dishonor God. I've done nothing to the king. And he's trying to kill me. I am suffering trials that I did nothing to put myself in this position. So that's the second blow. And now we need food. So then David sent his men to Nabal to ask for food. So backstory is David protected Nabal's men while they traveled. He asked, and all he did was ask for the same kindness. And it was custom for the Israel people to feed travelers, regardless of the size. That was the thing. That was the custom. If travelers came to your home, you had to provide to them. You had to provide for them. You had to offer them hospitality. You had to be kind to them. But Nabal was like, okay. So Nabal says to David's men, who's David? Who's this man you talking about? I don't know no David. But then he also says, am I supposed to feed all the outlaws who's running from their rulers? So you knew who David was if you knew he was an outlaw and you knew he was on a run from Saul. You knew exactly who he was. You was just being rude. That's the third blow. So now Samuel dead. That's the first blow. Second blow is we hungry. We need some food. And it's a time of celebration. It's a time of festival. And we ain't got nothing to party with. So, you know, we need food. That's the second blow. I don't even have what I need. Forget what I want. I don't have what I need. And I'm serving God. I'm doing the will of God. So that's the second blow. The third blow is this dude is coming up to me and he's insulting me and he's being rude. That's the third blow. That's the final blow. Okay. David, like, okay, I got you. Okay. So Nabal's offense, but that, like, if somebody, you ask somebody for something, they say no. Okay. Nabal's offense wasn't so bad that David had to respond how he responded. So David's response was, okay, let's go get your stuff. We going, me and 400 men, we killing everybody in the house. Every man in the house. He said every male in the house that pisses against a wall, I believe. Because I'm reading a different translation, so I don't say that. But any man in the house, be it serving a relative, they all about to die. He said, if they alive, he said, may the Lord kill me if him and any man in his life is alive by this time tomorrow. Okay? David is mad. Okay? He is angry. And you know, rightfully so. You know, I done protected your men. Ain't nobody steal nothing. Ain't nobody rob nothing. You know, even a servant said David and his men was like a wall of protection around us. And all I'm asking for you to do is be kind to me like I was kind to your men. I didn't owe you nothing, but I protected your men. Do the same thing for me. And David didn't, Nabal was like, no. And Nabal was a rich man. He had the provision. Wouldn't affect him anything to give it to him. And David didn't ask for a certain amount. He said, whatever you got, can you give it to us? And Nabal was like, that's a strong no. like I said, Nabal's offense wasn't so bad that David's response should have been, let's kill a whole lot of them. Okay. David couldn't touch Saul, who was the anointed king. He couldn't kill Saul. Even when Saul was trying to kill him, David couldn't kill Saul because Saul was God's anointed. David couldn't touch him. So he couldn't touch him. And growing up, David's father was Jesse. Jesse rejected David. When Samuel came to find the king among Jesse's children, Jesse paraded all 7 sons before him. And God rejected all of his sons as king. And Samuel had to say, is there another son? He didn't even consider that David would even be king. That could even be king. He's like, oh, there's one out there following the sheep. There's one, you know, I got another boy out there. And he's like, go get him. And that's what God had chosen. Even his father didn't see the possibility of greatness in him. But David couldn't do nothing to his father. He couldn't do nothing to Jesse because God told him, he said, honor your mother and father and your days may be long on earth. So he couldn't do nothing to Jesse. He couldn't touch Jesse because Jesse was his father. He couldn't touch Saul because Saul was king and anointed by God. But Nabal could get touched. Okay. He had to take blows from Saul. He had to take blows from Jesse. But he ain't got to take nothing from Nabal. Nabal about to get it. Okay? Nabal about to get it. He about to get the full weight of David's wrath. I mean, everything that's been filling up inside of him, he about to loose it. He about to loose all of it on Nabal. Oh, you try me? Okay. I'm gonna try you back. All right. So how relatable is that though? How often do we misdirect our anger, our wrath, our vengeance? Sure, Nabal was guilty of offense, but did it warrant death? I don't know. But could it be that David was so full of anger and resentment that after taking so many blows from people he respected, people he honored, people he loved, that now somebody had to feel his wrath. Someone had to put some respect on his name. You know what I'm saying? Nabal tried the wrong man at the wrong time. Verse 16 said David was a raw. Verse 16 says David was a wall of protection for Nabal's men. But now, he gonna be a wall of wrath for Nabal in his whole house. But when we go off on a fool's errand, because even the very elect of God get in their feelings, God intervenes. God gives us grace. He gives us mercy. He like, hold up, let me put something in there, because they can't see. You can't see when you're real angry, when you have stuff bottled up in you, and you in explode mode. You can't see the forest for the trees. And so, you know, God intervenes. He like, hold up. He find a way to get you back. Hold up, let me get your attention. So the servants, Nabal's servants, told Abigail of Nabal's foolishness, and she intervened. She gave David what he asked for and spared her whole household. Abigail was a woman of wisdom, I'm telling you. Abigail wasted no time. That's what verse 18 said. Abigail wasted no time. She gathers some bread. She gathers some sheep. She gathers, you know, some raisins and all this stuff. She gathered all this stuff and told him, go take it. I'm coming behind you. Just go. Hurry up. Go now. Because the servant said, you got to do something, because David about to come get at us. You know what I'm saying? So in verse 20, it said David was so mad. He's rambling. He just spewing anger. We protected him out in the wilderness. And what we did it for? For him to disrespect us like this? Oh, no. Oh, no. He was like, by this time tomorrow, the Lord could kill me. He could take my life if every man in Nabal's house ain't dead. You know, because when we get mad, we be like, oh, okay, I got you. Let me see if you can handle it when I put it back to you. Because a lot of people, when they give you stuff, they can't take it. They could give you all this attitude and all this stuff. And when you get it back, it's like, oh, my God, clutch my pearls. And so, yeah, Nabal wasn't ready. But as soon as Abigail saw David, she hopped down off her donkey and she bowed to the ground to him. Okay. She humbled herself. She apologized. She talked about her husband was evil and he was foolish. And she complimented David. In verse 28, she said, you have not done a wrong thing throughout your entire life. She was putting it on thick for David. Like, you are honored man of God. The Lord has put his hand on you. You're going to be a great leader. She was just speaking. She was complimenting him. She was putting it on thick. She like, come on here, because what we not about to do is die. And she said, your enemies will disappear like stones shot from a sling. That's what she told him. She said, don't worry about no enemies. This small stuff, David. This small stuff. Nabal is small. He ain't even worth your time. Look, God is for you. He protected you out in his wilderness when the king was coming for you. What is Nabal? Your enemies would disappear like stones shot from a sling. And she said that shot from a sling because she trying to remind him, dude, like, you killed Goliath. Like, you fought a giant that the whole Israeli army was scared of. Like, you killed Goliath. What is Nabal? Don't worry about him. She reminded him, boy, you got it. You good. Nabal, we ain't nothing. Don't worry about us. She said, don't let Nabal's slaughter come back to bite you when the Lord's promises manifest in your king. She said, be careful what you're doing right now, because you're going to get the promise that God told you. You're going to be a king, but you don't want this act of murder, this act of vengeance to come back to bite you later and to mess up your legacy. So right now, hold your peace. Here you go. You want this fool? Here you got this fool. What else you need? I got you. But don't harm Nabal. Don't harm anybody in my house. She said, you're going to be king. You better than this. Oh, and by the way, when you come into your promise, remember me, your girl, your servant. That's what she said. She said, remember me. All right. That's what she said. She said, when you come into your promise, remember me, your servant. You know? She said, I'm going to protect them, but I'm going to look out for me later too. Okay? Wisdom, okay? And David told Abigail, thank God you came with your good sense. Okay? That's what she said. And I'm reading from the Life Application Bible. Because it's better for me, okay? But David told Abigail, thank God you came with your good sense. And I'm sorry, y'all. This recording is way longer than I thought it would be. I've been rambling. Lord, forgive me. Okay. When Abigail got home, Nabal was partying big. So you know he had provision to give David if he had enough to party. Because you know when you party, you got to have food and drinks and stuff for your party. He had a big party. So if he had enough to feed for David's 400 men if he had a big party, you know, and he was a wealthy man. He had more than enough. So when he was sober the next day, Abigail told him what she did to prevent his slaughter and that of his household. And he had a stroke and lay paralyzed in the bed for 10 days. And then it said God struck him and he died. After the 10 days. And the Lord can avenge us much better than we can. And the Lord says, vengeance is mine, save the Lord. But you got to trust God to avenge you. And Nabal still suffered defeat. He still suffered death after 10 days of what had to be agony. And just knowing that you was this powerful man. And for these 10 days, you got to lay in this bed. You can't move. You can't say nothing. You can't do nothing. And then he died. So first, all of your power got wiped from you. And all these provisions that you got don't matter because you can't enjoy any of them. Because you can't eat. You can't talk. You can't move. So God can deal with people way better than we can. And if we let God do it, we won't have the blemishes in our history, on our character, on our name, on our reputation, because we let God do it. And it hurts. It hurts to turn back your hand from people, to turn back your wrath. It hurts. It hurts your pride. It hurts. It kind of hurts physically because, oh, like I want to get you because you deserve to get God. And you need to know that I ain't no punk. Okay. That's real. That's me. But then you start thinking about it and you like, okay, God. And you cry. You cry real tears because you know that you could get them back. And sometimes God, I don't know if it's God. I think it is. He put the weapon in your hand that you can use to destroy him. And then the character of God you didn't even know you had rises up in you. And you can't do it. You can't do it. You have to lay down that weapon. And that's what David had to do with Saul. He had to lay down that weapon. He could have killed Saul. Saul would have been dead before he even knew anything. He could have killed Nabal. Nabal didn't even know he was coming. He could have did it. But the character, sometimes your character stops you. Your love for God. Your want, your desire to please him will stop you. That's what stopped him from killing Saul. But sometimes you get in your feelings. And that was a Nabal situation. His character didn't stop him. But God intervened and put somebody in his way to say, look, don't do this. You better than this. And sometimes you get that too. My character ain't stopped me. The only thing that saved you was God. You better thank Jesus. Okay. But we have to trust God. And it's not easy. Trust me. Because I'm living it right now. It's not easy to trust God. Especially when you've been trusting him for a minute. Like, I'm trusting you, God, to stop, you know, Saul from killing me. And he's been chasing me for years. For years he's been chasing David. But you still have to put that trust in God. And it's not in our time. It's in God's time. Can you trust him? In the long run, can you trust him for months, for weeks, for years? Can you trust him to do what he said he would do? And David could have took it in his hands. He could have went and took everything Nabal had. and not been hungry, not suffered loss, not ever been in that position again. But he had character in him. He had the love of God in him. And like I said, sometimes we miss it. This time David missed it. It was Abigail that came and spoke wisdom to him. And the Lord did it. And this is why I love David, okay? Because when he found out that Nabal had died, I'm gonna read what it says. When he found out that Nabal had died, this is what David said. And I was like, you know, that's why David, my dude, you know what I'm saying? Because David keeps it realer than real. David keeps it real. He says what, you know, this is what David said. He said, praise the Lord. This is in verse 39, and we're in 1 Samuel 25, verse 39. He said, praise the Lord who has avenged the insult I received from Nabal and has kept me from doing it myself. Nabal has received the punishment for his sin. And David sent messengers to Abigail to ask her to become his wife. Girl, oh my God. So first of all, you'd be like, oh, we just want to bring you message, you know, that Nabal had a stroke and 10 days ago and he just died. And this is David's response. Praise the Lord. Praise God. I know you would do it for me. You avenged me. He insulted me and you got him, Jesus. Thank you. Like, oh my God. Like, oh my God. He said, praise be to God. He insulted me. God avenged me. Yes, he did. Won't he do? You got to love him, man. I love David. I love David. I love David. David was so real. David will praise the Lord in one breath and be like, Lord, kill him and they whole family in the next breath. I love David. David is real. David reacts in a human way to me. He does. He reacts in a human way to me. I love God, you know, but, you know, I don't want people in my, and the thing is that I do have grace, so I don't want anything bad to happen to them, but Lord, just bless them to know they touched me and you got them. I want them to know that you got them just for me. That, like, that's what I want you to do. Pray for me, y'all. Pray for me. Okay. So David sent up a praise when Nabal died. I mean, and you gotta love the realness. And then, on top of that, he like, you know what I'm saying? Abigail, Nabal wasn't treating you right. He didn't know what a woman of worth you was. Girl, let me be your husband. You know I treat you right. I give you the world. And you know I'm gonna be king, honey. You gonna be a queen. Come on here, come through. You gotta love it. And this was homegirl response. She says she would even be happy to be his slave and wash his feet. Of course she would be his wife. You see, because when you live with miserable, evil people, you would do anything to be free if it means peace. And she knew that David honored God. David loved God. That was his life. That was his testimony. That was his reputation. So she knew her life with David, even as a servant, would be better than being the head mistress of a house where her husband was a wealthy man. Isn't that something? I'd rather be a servant than to be your wife. That speaks to your character. But that's what she said. She said, I'd be willing to be a slave washing your feet. But of course, I will be your wife. And David married Jezreel as well. So he got two wives now. He married both of them. So David got two wives. He got Abigail and he got Jezreel. Meanwhile, his enemy is out there still trying to throw them blows. So while David married Jezreel and Abigail, Saul was given Michal, David's, and it's probably not how you say it, God. Like I said, I ain't no scholar. Help me, Lord. Michelle, maybe. I don't know. is M-I-C-H-A-L. It might go to me. So anyway, Saul was given David's first wife to another man. So he may have lost his wife, and that's fine. He ain't seen her in years. He ain't seen her since he ran from Saul, since he first ran from Saul. So Saul gave her to somebody else. Okay, so, but it didn't even faze David. Because when God called you, it don't matter what the enemy does. You're still blessed. So he may have lost that one wife, but he got two. At the same time, he lost that one, he got two. Because it said, meanwhile. So while he was losing, while Saul was giving his first wife to somebody, to another man, David got two more wives. That's it. Double for your trouble. Won't he do it? So Abigail is a bad woman. Okay. And I didn't realize how bad she was until I was just reading this. And I was outside reading it and I got bit up. But I digress. Abigail was a woman of wisdom. Okay. She saved her whole house. And she got a husband. What he doing? And she got a husband. And more than like, you know, Abigail didn't deserve Nabal's treatment. And after suffering a while, the Lord got her out and placed her into somebody who would honor her, somebody who knew her worth, somebody who knew of her wisdom. Because David told her, thank God for sending you, because you're a woman with good sense. Okay? So that's more than what she probably got from Nabal, because he was evil and corrupt. And even if he knew she had good sense, he probably wouldn't have told her. But anyway, so David suffered so much for no reason of his own. He suffered because God called him. He suffered because he was anointed by God. He suffered a while. But after David suffered, David saw, he will eventually see that it was all worth it. It taught him to lead his time in the wilderness. It taught him to lead. Because he left, when he first ran from Saul, he was by himself. And people were drawn to him. The misfits, the rejected, the people in debt. They came to Saul and they stayed with him and they became the mighty men. They became the most fierce warriors in the land. He was rejected. He took the rejected men and they became the mightiest warriors of the land. And even while he was on the run from Saul, he was still fighting Israel's battles. If he heard that somebody was struggling and the Philistines had come against them, David and his men went out to help them. He wasn't getting no reward, but that was the character of David. And his character didn't change based on his circumstances. For the most part, because, you know, he was going to get Nabal. But that's just human. This is human, the human condition. But his time on the run in the wilderness, it taught him how to lead. It taught him about character. He could have killed Saul. God already knew what David was made of. But because David had to go through that wilderness experience, he had to go through these trials, it showed David what he was made of. It showed him what he stood for, what he stood against. And the same is true for me and you. The same is true for us. We go through these trials, and while we're in it, it's all consuming. Like, you can't see anything else. You can't see the future because I'm in this and it's strong and it's heavy and I keep taking blow after blow and it's like, God, where are you? And I see that you helped me here, but Father God, I'm still struggling with this. Saul is still here. Like, why is Saul still here? I didn't do nothing to Saul. Why is Saul bothering me? I'm not a threat to him. Tell him to leave me alone. Get him, Jesus. But going through all of that shows you what you will do and what you won't do. It shows you your character. It shows you what you can survive. It shows you, it gets you to pray. And in those times, it shows you that your prayers work. They reach God. They change situations. They change circumstances. And sometimes it just changes your outlook on life. And that, if your outlook on the situation could change, your whole world just changed. If how you look at people and how you look at your situation change, your whole world changes. And I by no means have got it all together. I tell you, the struggle is real, okay? The struggle is real. But that's why I've been reading and I've been trying to study, because I really just need a word from God in this season to keep on keeping on. And I believe that I've come to the end of this struggle and I don't want to give up, because, you know, it's always darkest right before dawn. And so it's getting dark and it's like these blows are coming so fast and they're so persistent and they have so much force behind them. And it's so easy to look at people. And that's what I've been praying. I was like, Lord, help me not to look at people as a problem. But, you know, because the Bible says we don't fight against flesh and blood. And so it takes a change of mindset. So it's not Clara over here that's the problem. It's what's influencing Clara to do what she's doing. And so you have to pray against that spirit. And, you know, I saw this prophet. His name is an African prophet. His name, Prophet Victor Kusi Boateng. And this is what he said. He said every day he wakes up and he says this prayer. He said, before he get out of bed, before he do anything, what he says is, Lord, I come again. You know, because there's a scripture that says, I can't remember what it says. Lord, help me. But there's a scripture and it says that, no weapon formed against us shall prosper, and every tongue that rises against them in judgment shall be condemned. And so every morning he wake up, he says, every negative word that has been spoken over me, over my family, over my business, over my church, over anything that involves me, any person involves me, my family, my church, my ministry, any negative word that has been spoken privately or publicly, I speak judgment against it right now in the name of Jesus. And I pray that the reverse happens from what they spoke against me. So if they praying for my demise, Lord, let me to be victorious. If they're praying for my defeat, Lord, let me win every battle. If they saying I can't do it, Lord, let me win every time. And it's Bible. You could put Bible on it while you're praying it. Lord, you said whatever I put my hands to do shall prosper. You said that you always cause me to triumph. And sometimes you have to speak them scriptures to yourself to encourage yourself. And child, sometimes you just got to go and just talk to God, because it be so real and that anger be so real. And so I've been really trying to pray and read the Bible, because I know that a lot is going on in my world and I don't know that I'm angry, but then I see the bouts of anger. And so it's like, Lord, it must be in me and it's bottled up. Because I don't know it's there. So it's in there and I'm suppressing it. So I'm going to worship you. And Father God, whatever needs to come out, let it come out in my worship. And worship is just talking to God about who he is. Praise is thanking God for what he done. I'm praising you. I'm speaking well of you because of what you did for me. Worship is, my circumstances is jacked up. I can't see the forest for the trees. Everything in here seems wrong, seems bad. It's hurting me. But God, I know that you're good. I know that you're for me and not against me. I know that you love me with an unfailing love. I know that I'm beautifully and wonderfully made. I know, Father God, that you place gifts and purpose inside of me and you want it to be You wanted to come forth. And so, Father God, I just bless your name. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that even though I'm in this situation and I can't feel you, I know that you're healed because your word says that you'll never leave me nor forsake me. And I know that 1,000 will fall at my side and 10,000 are right here, but it won't come nigh my dwelling place. And you got to speak those scriptures back to God. And so you can hear them for yourself. And just worship God. You're good. You're the good shepherd. You're leading me. You're guiding me. You're directing me. You're showing me the way. Even though right now, I don't know which direction I should take. But Father God, you're the good shepherd. And the shepherd leads the sheep. So Father God, I'm trusting you to be my guide. I'm trusting you to order my steps. Father God, you are so good. I know that you're here with me. I know, Father God. I know that you're here. I know that you hear me because you said that the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. And I'm trusting you, God. I'm trusting you, God. And then sometimes the enemy said, well, you ain't righteous because you was just thinking bad thoughts about them. And that's what you got to know some word, okay? You got to know the word. Because he said our righteousness is as filthy rags. We're righteous because he made us righteousness. He's given us the gift of righteousness. He said, be holy because I'm holy. We're holy because he made us holy. We don't have to attain it. We don't have to do anything to get it. Lord, you are good. I'm saved because I confess that you are Lord, and I believe in your heart that you raised Jesus from the dead. I'm saved. That's what they said I had to do to get saved. That's what your word said I had to do to get saved. So I'm saved. And people will try to condemn you and probably tell you that you're not saved. But if the word said that's what you have to do to be saved, and he will count your faith as righteousness, that's all you got to do. And no matter what sins you do, Lord, forgive me. I trust you, God. I trust you. Forgive me. You told me to forgive my brother seven times 70 a day. And that seems impossible. But you told me to keep forgiving. So I know if you want me to forgive, then Lord, you're going to forgive me if I come with a sincere heart and I turn away from what doesn't please you. And even if I turn back to it, Lord, you told me I could come back to you and repent again. And people try to tell you, you can't keep doing it. But you could keep doing it. Because he said, if your brother comes 7 times, 70 times a day. And that's 77 times. If he come 77 times in one day and ask for your forgiveness, you got to forgive him. So if I come 77 times today and say, Lord, I messed up, forgive me. Lord, I messed up again. Lord, forgive me. Lord, I messed up, forgive me. Religion says that God's not going to forgive you. But the Bible says that he will. But you got to forgive somebody too. He said, forgive us, I says, as we forgive those who sin against us. You got to forgive too. And that's something that I'm working on now. How do I know that I've forgiven them? How do I know? I don't know. I think I've forgiven them. I think I've let it go. And then it's like, ugh, you know what I'm saying? Just get away from me. So I don't know. I don't got all the answers. I'm just trying to share with you something that I learned today. And I hope it blessed you. And I hope that this encourage you to trust God, whether you see him or not in your situation. Trust him that he's there, because he said he is. And he said the heaven and earth will pass before his word come back void. He said his word can't fail, but it will accomplish everything he sent it to do. And we got to trust that. We have to trust that. We have to trust God. He said, Jesus is the living word. Jesus is the word. It's alive. It will accomplish everything it was sent to do. And so, trust God, even in your trials, even when, like they say, even when you can't trace him, trust him. Trust him that he's going to do what he said. Trust him that the promises will be manifest. And so thank you for joining me today. I don't have a name for this or anything. For this podcast, but I pray that it blesses someone. And if it just blesses one person, then great, because it blessed me. Just sharing it. So I thank you for your time. I know it's been almost an hour. Forgive me. Who knew I was a ranter? But thank you for listening. Have a blessed day.